Hey, everybody, it's Lisa Lampanelli, the Queen of Maine, and you know what? I got my own podcast. Yeah, does everyone have one? Pretty much, but mine's different because I'm going to help you like I help myself. Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli every week is going to teach you how to have the fabulous life that I have. If you don't listen, you're just stupid and don't want to help yourself, so don't even listen. I don't even want you to. But if you do, if you disobey my orders and listen, you can go to feralaudio.com or download it from iTunes. But again, don't listen. I don't even care.
Hey, Weird Adults. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible has the best audiobook performances, the largest library, and the most exclusive content, and you'll feel something when you listen. Learn more at audible.com/weirdadults, where you can get 30 days free and one free audiobook. It's awesome, and just so you know, I'm right now reading Missoula. I think it's a must read, and it's super easy to digest if you're listening to it on Audible. I'm also highly, extremely beyond above recommending you read or listen to on Audible, So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson. If you are of the now, if you are living in the time that we're living, which I hope you are if you're listening to this, if not, please seek medical attention because you are in fact dead. But if you are living, you have to read So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson, and you can get it for free by going to audible.com/weirdadults. This book is such a necessary read because it's so relevant to the times we're living in, and I just think it's awesome. All right, guys, check it out, audible.com/weirdadults.
Hi, Sashir.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm so excited that I finally have you on my podcast.
Yeah, I'm excited to do it.
Do you know how we originally know each other?
I think, hey, girl.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. I was like, will she know that?
Oh, yeah.
But I knew right away. Yeah, that's exciting. Okay. Should we talk? I'm like... what is your memory or experience of what Hey Girl is? Like, how do you explain it to the everyday person?
I guess I say it's what Girl Code could have been. All ladies, and it seemed to have like a nice positive goal of like educating young women about sex stuff, relationship stuff, like being a young woman. I liked the idea a lot. I think it was really cool.
I really loved it. Yeah, it was a show on MTV that we were both in, and I remember the producers kind of telling me like, think of this show as like you girls are the big sisters of the viewers, yeah, and like you're just giving them advice, and you know, it's silly and funny and light and all very positive. And Julie Klausner was the head writer, mm-hmm, or the showrunner. She was kind of the brains behind it.
Yeah.
Michael Showalter was the director.
Yeah.
And the cast was... But we never worked...
I don't think we did.
Yeah, I don't think
together.
Our paths crossed.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was basically like a talking head show with sketches and like Little Man on the Street bits,
yeah,
and stuff like that. And it was really cute and fun. And then MTV decided that they hated it or something.
Well, I think it was like... Because we literally came out at the same time as Girl Code.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was
right
like...
After? Yeah, Girl Code had come out before us. I think we shot ours before Girl Code, but then Girl Code came out
because I think ours took more production. Like,
right.
Because we had sketches and sets and like, we just had more to edit. So I think, yeah, we did shoot before, but the Girl Code, because they just have a green screen.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're like, we can just like do this on the cheap and then get it out there. So I think probably because of money stuff, that's why ours didn't succeed. But that's okay.
Yeah. No, totally. Like,
it all worked out.
This was like forever ago. And it is a thing that I literally, whenever it somehow comes up, I'm like, oh my God. Yeah.
We had good people too. Like Ali Wong was on it.
Oh my God. That's right.
Who else was on it? Shelby Farrow.
Yeah. I can't remember everyone's name.
I can't remember everyone either, but I just remember liking the group.
Me too, and like feeling good about who. Yeah. And so your best friend is Nicole Byer,
yeah.
And she was on Girl Code.
This is true. Yes.
So what was that like? Like your best friend is on this, the other show.
Yeah, it was weird. I don't know if we even ever talked about it because I was like, "You're on that fucking show that took my job," but also like I was super proud of her. And
yeah,
happy that she like got so many opportunities because of it. Like she was able to like do stand up and tour, and like, and they had so many other like spin-off Girl Code shows from that, and she lived in LA at the time, so they flew her to New York to shoot this. So I was glad that she was able to come back to New York every so often to shoot Girl Code stuff. So it ended up being fine.
Yeah, no, totally. It was just like such a weird thing that I feel like no one knows about.
Yeah,
unless you're a part of Hey Girl.
Yeah, truly. It flew under the radar. Like, they aired it maybe two nights and then they're like, that's it. No more.
Yeah. It was an interesting lesson for me because I feel like you think if you're making a show that you're going to like, it'll be a show and it'll be big. But I feel like now I know that you can make an entire series and it will just, like you said, fly under the radar.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened, which is, yeah, it's just kind of interesting. I don't know, but it's not like a sore spot or anything.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, I'm glad to be a part of it because Dan Powell was producing that show. And like, because I met him through that, he brought me on to Inside Amy Schumer and I did like a couple sketches for that show. So it's like, I'm glad to have made relationships out of that show because it continued on.
Yeah, that I met Julie there and that's how she cast me on Difficult People.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Look, one day we'll have a like Hey Girl alumni party.
I hope we do.
Yeah, that would be that's kind of what this podcast is.
Yeah. Basically, we just need like a few more people and then we have it.
Yeah. Anyway, so you're in Los Angeles. You live in New York.
I live in New York.
Now you're here. What are you in town for?
I do voiceover stuff for Call of Duty. So
what?
Yeah, I had my last voiceover session this week. Yeah, they have like a zombie storyline and I'm a part of it.
So. That is very shocking.
I know, right? It doesn't seem like that's what I would be doing, but that's the thing that I do.
How does that even happen? Like, have you just always done voiceover work?
Not always, like a little bit, but this is the first like extended thing that I've done. Like usually I've done like bit parts on different shows or something, but yeah, there's like a character that exists in this world for five games. But they just liked me. Like they wanted me to do it. And then they said, do you want to do this? And I was like, yeah, yeah, of course.
So you play a zombie?
I play a person. It's a wild story. So it's like one, two, three, four. It's me, Jay Farrow, Ike Barinholtz, and Seth Green. And we're like actors. And we're not ourselves. We're like characters. And we're auditioning for this movie. And then Paul Reubens, who is this like director / kind of evil genius, sucks us into the world of this zombie movie. So we have to like fight the zombies within the movie to get out of it. And
so Call of Duty has like movie business stuff going on in it, like movie industry.
Yeah. It's a huge, I'm so new to the video game world and it's a huge industry. And they also like are truly creating films at the same time as games. But like, it's like they have stories and like real plots happening throughout the whole thing.
Do you think that a Call of Duty fan, like have they ever recognized you from Call of Duty?
I mean, they know some people know I do it. I think like you have to look on the box to know, or unless you know my voice, you know. But I've only gotten a few like tweets that are like, that's your voice. That's so cool. But I don't know if many people know that I do that.
That is such a like secret life that you have.
It's fun. I mean, and I've been doing it for like a year and it's just like a few hours every few months and then that's it. Pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's cool. And so you're staying in New York.
Yeah.
You're moving on from SNL.
Yeah.
And you did three seasons.
Three and a half.
Three and a half.
Yeah. Okay. Or I guess 3.5 years, 4 seasons. I don't know. I started midway through 2014. So it's like hard to really count, but yeah, 3.5.
And what is, like, how did you come to that decision to leave and move on?
I'm just ready to do more of my own stuff. Like, I'm so grateful for the opportunity and being able to work with, like, the funniest and smartest people in the biz. And I learned a shit ton, but yeah, I'm just ready to do my own stuff.
And what was that experience like? Like, was it super challenging or stressful or, like, just fun or, like, all of that?
All of that, yeah. There were some super fun moments. It's so strange because I feel like in that building I've had the most extreme emotions in every direction. Like, I've been my most happiest, my most, like, victorious, and I've also been my most sad and angry and confused and frustrated. And, yeah, I felt all of the emotions in the most heightened version of my life.
The most extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All in that job. And I mean, I'm thankful for that because I'm like, wow, I never knew I could feel that way. You know, like, I never felt like knew I could feel that mad. but now I know, and now I know how I react in these situations and, like, can further assess how I behave in different situations.
Are there specific things that, like, happened that either made you, like, very happy or very upset?
I mean, meaning Beyonce was still my top.
Oh my God.
My top, like, achievement.
Can you, like, walk me through that?
Of course.
Please?
Yeah.
I have chills. The hairs are straight on my arm.
It was the 40th anniversary and it was the after party. And this is, like, black tie. Everyone's dressed to the nines. And I see two people walk in, like, sweats, and it's Beyonce and Jay-Z, and, or not sweats, but, like, she had just, like, a camo jacket, and, like, it was very casual. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need to talk to them. And there was, like, a queue line of people trying to talk to her, like, and there's celebrities everywhere. There's, like, sports people, politicians, music people, actors, and everyone wants to talk to Beyonce. and she's being very polite and taking pictures with people. And I didn't want to, like, talk to her when everyone else is trying to talk to her. So I waited for a while. And then I saw that she was, like, chilling by herself. And I was like, okay, this is my moment. And I, like, just, like, slithered in beside her. And I was like, hey, nice to see you. And she was like, oh, you just got hired recently. And I was like,
She knew that.
I was like, I've been in your brain. You are aware of my existence. And
oh my God.
I can't remember what I said exactly. Like, some garbage fell out of my mouth. Like, it's cool that we're, like, living and breathing in the same space. And isn't this great? Like, I don't know what I said. And she's like, cool.
It's cool that we're living and breathing.
And we're just, like, here and alive. And she's like, awesome. And then I was like, I don't know if you mind, but I would love to take a picture with you. And she's like, oh, sure. And then my boyfriend was waiting with the phone, like a good man, like, just ready to go. I was like, yes, thank you. And we touched cheeks and I was like, oh my God, like, this is, I felt like her energy just, like, I was like, I am Sasha Fierce. I am everything. I felt like my full potential was reached.
Oh, yes.
And then we parted and she goes, it's nice to meet you. You also remind me of my sister. And I was like, Solange, who I also love? That's amazing. Thanks. And then, yeah, I've been feeling great since then.
I mean, that is so cool. And when you saw her in person, like, was she just so glowy, beautiful that you couldn't, like,
yeah.
Did she just, you know, when you see someone and they're like, did she have that, like, essence of beauty?
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I was like, oh, your skin's flawless. Your hair is gorgeous. You just seem perfect in every way. I really like you.
Have you ever met anyone else that, like, was as perfectly beautiful and exciting as her in person?
Jessica Biel. I saw her in person. We didn't speak, but she was there when Justin Timberlake was performing. And I saw her, like, a few feet from me. And I was like, you must be a different species. Like, I've never seen a person so beautiful before. Like, otherworldly beautiful.
I feel like that is such one that you wouldn't expect. But, like, I have heard that before.
Yeah.
That there's something about her just, like, in person.
Yeah. Because, like, yeah, on screen, I'm like, yeah, she's beautiful. But right. You see her in person, you're like, oh, especially standing next to a normal person, you're like, oh, you are on a different level than everybody else. And I don't know how you exist.
You're just like a mutant.
Yeah.
A genetic mutant.
Kind of, yeah.
Oh my God. And are there any other, what are some like other crazy cool people that you've gotten to meet?
Chance the Rapper is really cool and nice. And I'm a fan of his.
What was it like meeting Drake?
Oh, he's cool. He's actually really nice. Like he was really, like every time he comes, he'll give us, he'll have someone cater for us, like really good food. Like he had Bobby Flay actually serve us dinner, and it's courtesy for the host to like, pay for the next week's writing night dinner. That's a nice thing that they could do, but he'll like go above and beyond and just like provide a fucking like feast for us, which is so nice. Yeah. Yeah. And he loves the show, and it's always so fun to have somebody who really loves the show be there and also like enjoy what they're doing. Like everyone enjoys being there, but it's different when there's like a fan of the show who's actually like in love with what they're doing, you know?
He does seem to have like a comedian vibe or something. Like he's a comedy guy at heart.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like just a goofball, and he wants to express that, you know. He's like, yeah, I love music and I'm a rapper, but also he's like, you can be funny.
Were there any other hosts that like you felt went above and beyond or like really liked being there or had like particularly fun experiences with?
Who else went above and beyond? I mean, Emma Stone's always a joy to have. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure she's a fan of the show, but yeah, she seems to like fit in, you know, where it's like, oh, we don't have to tell her. We don't have to explain the language to her. She gets it. And when Taraji P. Henson came, it felt like maybe we should add her to the cast.
What?
Like she was so talented, is so talented. And yeah, she's someone who I was like, wow, she went 110% this whole week. And I can't say that about anybody else. Like,
what does that mean, 110%? Just like showing up and...
Showing up, ready to go, taking notes, like adding her own flair to stuff. She was just like ready. And it was great. Like, you know, sometimes we have to explain things like, oh, this is how we do it. Or like, you know, and things change all the time, like to the minute for sketches. Like lines will change, staging will change. And you just have to like go with the flow. But she was so like, yep, got it. Okay, I'm doing this now. Great, got it. And like,
that's so inspiring.
Yeah, she was awesome. I was like, yeah, I want to be that. I want to do that.
Did you ever have like an experience where, because what you just explained, like how things are changing last minute, like that just sounds so high stress and like it's a live show. Like, did you ever have a situation where like you messed something up and you totally freaked out, or did it always just like kind of happen to work out?
Oh yeah. Things mess up all the time. I can't think of a time that anything detrimental happened where the sketch was ruined. I don't know. It's hard to think because it's like, because everything resets on Monday, you kind of just dump everything to the trash. Like, yeah, I fucked up that thing, but also like, whatever. Now we have to do a new show.
Right.
Or like, wow, I aced everything, but also who cares? Cause now we have to start writing a totally new show the next week. So I'm having a hard time thinking of a specific thing that I've messed up. Cause I'm so good. But yeah, things mess up all the time. But I can't think of anything that where it's like the audience could tell.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's rare. We can tell.
I see what you're saying. It's always small enough that it's like, oops to me, but.
Yeah, but nothing where the audience would be like, whoa, this like went off the rails. We've rehearsed it too much to get to that point. But there's definitely things that internally we can be like, ooh, that line was dropped, or like, oh, this, you know, this movement happened, or, you know, something went out of order, but that's not because the audience never knew what it was supposed to be in the first place. They don't know.
Right. And so because you were there for 3-4 years, like by that time, like after that many years of being there, are you not nervous anymore? Is it just like, I know this, I've done this so many times. Like, are you comfortable, because I know, like, I do stand up. I know we both do stand up. Like, I still, I mean, it's getting better, but like, I still get nervous sometimes. Like in Montreal, I was a little nervous.
Yeah.
For, because we had a live taping, and like, I'm just curious, does it ever, does that go away? Like, were you nervous at the start and then you weren't anymore later? Or
I think it's the same as stand up, where it's like, I get less nervous the more I do it, but it's, it doesn't mean the nerves go away completely.
Totally.
And if I was not nervous, I would be worried, because it'd be like, oh, I don't care about this anymore. You know, like, I want to feel a little nervous because it means I'm invested in it.
Yeah. And excited.
Yeah. But if I'm just like, whatever, then it's like, I probably will fuck up. Like, I will probably not do well because I don't care.
Right. You're not, you wouldn't be like dialed in and on your toes.
Yeah. I don't want to be an automatic pilot. I want to be in it still. So yeah, the nerves were still there, but, definitely not as much as when I started.
Who are some of the people there that you like really bonded with and got super close to?
Melissa Villasenor. Yeah. Yeah. We were dressing roommates.
I heard.
My last year. Yeah. And she was just a ray of sunshine. She's great. And everyone's great. I like, you know, Vanessa and Taryn when he was there, and Jay and Bobby. Bobby was the one who like kind of really got me into all of this. Like I saw him in college, when I was in college, because the touring company from UCB came to my college and performed, and I was in the improv group at my college.
What college?
University of Virginia. And
is that where you grew up?
No, I grew up in Indiana.
Where?
Indianapolis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I did that. There's a festival, Limestone Festival.
Yeah, yeah. In Bloomington. Yeah.
Yes. It was so much fun.
It's very fun. Yeah.
I really like it there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so college, you were in college.
I was in college, doing improv for fun, not knowing if I could turn this into a thing. And the UCB touring company came, performed, and I was like, they're amazing. I want to go wherever they came from. And someone asked a question during their like talk back, like, how do you get a career in comedy? And Bobby goes, you move to New York, go to UCB and work really hard. And then I did that.
Oh my God.
And then we got to work together.
Did you tell him that?
I did. Yeah.
Was he like, whoa?
I think he was really proud. Yeah.
That's so cool. And did that, do you feel like you guys bonded over that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I feel like we had like a UCB connection, you know?
The first stand up that I ever saw when I was in, was when I was in high school, and I went to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and it was Maria Bamford. And I just remember sitting there like, what is this?
Yeah.
This is the best thing I've ever experienced.
I can't believe Maria was your first stand up.
Isn't that like how lucky?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Like there's no, and then I did see a, after that, like, I spent the last, like, I think it was like another 3 nights at the festival, like only seeing stand ups. And they were good, but it, like, obviously nothing was going to be as good as Maria.
Totally.
But then I did a guest star on her show, and yeah, it was like, I didn't say it though, because I was, did I? No, I didn't. I didn't say anything.
I know, it's a delicate dance where you're like, should I?
Yeah, because you feel kind of dorky. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm proud of you that you spoke up to Bobby. That's, yeah. I feel inspired.
Because, you know, you got to give people their flowers while they can still smell them.
Yeah, that's a really good saying. I like that. And so now, so you came to the decision to leave, and what is it that you feel like you want to do now? Like acting, writing, all of the above, touring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of it. I want to do more stand up and tour and write more, do TV stuff, do movies. Yeah. All of it. and I'm in a couple of movies now that we'll be shooting in a few weeks. I'm in the new Amy Schumer movie. I'm in this drama called Ghetto Plainsman, about like a gay man in the 80s, 90s who's a sex worker and is trying to find himself. And I'm his best friend who's an actress. A few other indie things. So, yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And are those the kinds of opportunities that you felt like if you were at SNL still, you probably wouldn't be able to do it all?
I don't know. I mean, they thankfully were like lenient on movie stuff, as long as it didn't conflict schedule wise during the season. But, you know, we still had to ask permission for everything. And as long as it wasn't like other TV stuff, they would probably say yes. But I just really want more time to focus on things that make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I feel like I'm doing now.
Is there any like particular, do you have like a story or something that's like in you that you feel like you can't wait to get out, whether it's like on stage or like in a movie or?
I don't know if I have a particular story, but like I'm excited to work with people that I wasn't able to because I had a full-time job. Like,
is one of them Nicole?
Yes. Me and Nicole, actually, we just finished a first draft of a movie treatment that we're excited about. So, you know, hopefully that will be in the works soon. We'll see.
That's so cool. I feel like I can see online that you two just have the most genuine friendship. And so the thought of you guys collaborating on something is really exciting for me. Cause I'm just like, what is that going to be?
Yeah. We did a web series together. We did 2 seasons and we have a 3rd season written, but it's nothing's happening with it. Cause like,
that was Nicole's, wait, that
Pursuit
was
of Sexiness.
Okay. Was that the MTV thing that you guys were doing?
Mm-mm.
No. Okay.
No, it was first we did it through UCB and then we did it with Above Average and, you know, now we're not doing it. But it's like, you know, just 2 best friends being trashy and about dating and sex and stuff like that. And we did try to pitch it as a show, but then people were like, well, Broad City's a thing, so we can't imagine having more women on the same network. That's ridiculous. So we kind of like put that on the back burner.
There can only be 2 female friends on TV.
Yeah, truly. Why would we want more? We don't need more.
That's already a thing.
Yeah, we already have the same stories. But we try to like look back at what we wrote and we're like, do we want to revisit this? But now we're like grown-ups. Like now we're like in our 30s and we look at things differently and we're like, we don't even want to do these stories anymore. So now I'm excited to do other stories with her and figure out what we want to say.
And what is the movie about?
I don't really want to say.
That's fine.
Yeah, we're working on it.
And how did you guys even meet?
We met through UCB. There was a diversity, or there still is a diversity program. And at the time when we were there, we had like luncheons and jams and stuff like that. So you can meet the other people of color or minorities that were at the theater. And yeah, I met her and our friend Keisha Zoller, and we just, you know, knew each other in the community. And then I performed with Nicole, cause I had an improv partner. We had like a 2-prop group and she couldn't make a show, but I still was at the show and Nicole was like, well, I'll perform with you. And then we like just got on stage and performed. And it was so fun and great. And we're like, we should do this more. Like, it was like a date. We're like, we should do this more often.
And then we see each other again.
Yes. And
I would love to see you again.
We really hit it off. I can feel something. And the same thing happened with Keisha. And I was performing with the both of them often. And then we all auditioned for Herald teams, for the house teams. None of us made it. And then the 2 of them were like, we need to work harder. We need to have our own show. We need to like, you know, just boost our popularity and our skill. And I was like, awesome. I can't do this in 2 different directions. Let's combine as a team. And so we created a 3-prop group and kind of just like blew up. And that's how SNL found out about me because the AD at the theater told a producer there like, hey, you should look at these girls. They're funny. They're here all the time. And a producer came and was like, I agree. And you guys should submit packets and tapes. And then we did that for a few years until I got hired.
So you had been submitting.
Yeah.
Wow. What did you submit writing and the tape? Like, did you?
Yeah. I mean, also, I was also so green. Like, we were all just trying our best. I think we started in 2011, I think. And then, yeah, did it every summer until I got hired in 2014. And yeah, that was also the last, I was like, this is my last year trying. I'm not going to keep doing this. And I was also planning to move to LA at that point. And I was like, I've auditioned for everything. Like, I tried to do Fallon. I tried to do Daily Show. I tried to do SNL. Like,
when you say you tried to do Fallon, what do you mean?
They were looking for a writer performer. So like, I submitted a packet, auditioned for them for their showcase. Like, I was doing all the showcases. And I was like, okay, I mean, every New York casting person knows me. Every show that is here knows who I am. And if they don't want it, then I should probably go where there's more opportunities in LA. So I was planning to, you know, give it one last try with SNL and then move to LA and just see what happens. And yeah. And then, you know, there was a rush for casting at the end of 2013. And we did like a showcase and then quickly after a test and then an interview. And then, yeah, it was like a very rushed process than usual.
Why?
Because there was like that whole, you know, lack of diversity stuff happening online where people were like, oh, they need a black woman. There hasn't been a black woman since Maya Rudolph and this and that, which is true. But I wasn't expecting them to like rush an audition. I was thinking they would just hire somebody the next year, but they're like, oh, this is a problem. We should address this, which, you know, I'm glad they did.
Yeah.
Cause I don't know if I would have been there otherwise. But yeah. And then I got hired in January and then
what was the, like going there to audition, like in person, what was that like? Was it so crazy?
Oh yeah. It was wild. I can't remember how many other people tested, maybe 10. And I remember my dressing room wall was so thin that I could hear the other person warming up and stuff. So I put my headphones in and just listened to Beyonce's Flawless over and over again.
How perfect.
And I was like, I feel flawless. This is working. And I remember going to the studio doors and you had to like wait while the other person's auditioning for them to get off stage and then you get on stage. And the stage manager, Chris Kelly, was like, you know, if you get nervous, I'll be standing right next to the camera and you can look at me because I'll be smiling. And he was. And that was so nice.
That is so sweet. That makes me want to cry.
It was so great. I mean, that crew is amazing. Like, they were all so supportive and fun. They made a fun environment. And I mean, that's just the best crew in the biz. They've been doing that job forever. Like, it's like a family there. And most of them are related. Like, a lot of them, that is like a family job for them. And they're like, you know, they enjoy what they do and they want you to do well. Like, they're not there to intimidate you or anything. They want you to do well because they want the job to go well. So it was so nice to already get like a nice invitation to be there.
You felt like that helped you feel comfortable.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. And that, like, I looked at him, he was smiling. I looked at the sound guy, he was smiling. And I was like, okay, I think I can do this.
And what impressions did you do?
I can't remember everything I did. I know I did Rihanna, Nicki Minaj. I did like a combination of stand up and impressions. So I like started as
stand up.
Yeah. You can do whatever you want. You can, it's like 5 minutes of whatever you feel like is the best way to showcase yourself. So I started with stand up as myself. And then I was talking about holidays or something like that. And then I would set it up like, you know, like, you, when there's like family games, it's awkward or something. And I was like, imagine, I don't know if this is how I got into these things, but like, you know, imagine Destiny's Child doing like a three-legged race or something. And then, you know, then acting out like Beyonce, Michelle and Kelly talking to each other. And then I think I did Queen Latifah when she had a talk show interviewing Michelle Obama. And then like a song with Nicki Minaj and Rihanna. So it was kind of weaving in and out of these different little vignettes that I was creating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And who was in the audience at that time?
Lorne, Seth Meyers. I'm sure Lindsay Shookus, Aaron Doyle, the producers, probably Eric Kenward. But I can't even remember because I glanced over there and then didn't look again.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, I think so. Because the camera was straight in front of you and then everyone's to the left, which is, I don't know why they do that. I have no idea why they do that. Because you want to play to the audience, but you can't because they're to the left of the camera. So when I got on stage, I looked to the left. I saw Lorne and I saw Seth and he smiled at me. And I was like, okay, good. Everyone's on board. Because everyone does want you to do well. They don't want you to fuck up. They want you to be the best you can be because maybe they can hire you.
Right. You're there because they like you.
Exactly. They won't, they're not inviting you there so you can fail.
But it is weird. Like, isn't that our instinct though to think like, oh, they want, I'm going to fail. Like just any, that's this weird instinct that performers have.
I know.
It's so bizarre.
Like, obviously they like me. They wouldn't ask me to come to this point if they didn't want me to see me do well.
Like no one invites people there to laugh at them and like tease them.
Yeah. To embarrass them. But yeah, I can't remember who all was there because I truly just scanned the room and then went back to the camera and then did it and had an out of body experience. I don't truly remember. I know what I did, but I can't remember the full experience because it felt like I blacked out. But I remember leaving the stage feeling like that was the best I've ever done anything. And like, yeah, I was like, I have no doubt that was amazing.
No way.
And yeah, I couldn't even think of a thing I would change. I was like, yep, I did it. If they don't want it, then that's on them. They don't want it, but that's the best I could give them. And it turned out great. It worked.
And how did you find out? Like, how soon after did you find out?
They told me I would find out before the holidays, because this was around Christmas, and they did not, because they don't have to. And then they told me maybe the first or second week of January. So I'm just like stressed out of my mind for weeks, which, you know, some people have to wait longer to even hear anything. But I knew they were picking someone soon. So I was like, I don't know. Also, since I was trying to move to L.A., I didn't know if I was supposed to move or not. Like, the goal was to move January of 2014. I had an apartment already in LA. I like put a deposit down. I was looking for cars. God. Yeah. I was already trying to move.
You were halfway through that process.
Yeah. And I was like, well, I don't know if I should get rid of my New York apartment because I don't know if I need to move or not. So I had two apartments for January and just paid for both because I was like, I'll just wait and see.
That's so crazy because there, it's like when you think of whether it's superstition or whatever, there's kind of like two ways of thinking where like I feel like there's one school of thinking where it's like, nope, just move on, forget it, pretend it never happened. And you move to LA and you go about your business as you would. And then the other is like, I'm just going to believe that it's going to happen. And, you know, whatever it is, using the secret or whatever you call it. And like, I'm going to stay, I'm going to, you know, but you, it's, I like that you kind of like,
did both.
Slid in both. You're like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when you found out, was it a phone call or?
It was a phone call. Yeah.
From
Lauren. I somehow missed the first call because I like had the phone on my face the whole time. I was
really?
Like holding it, sitting on it. It was just like near me at all times, just waiting.
Like for 2 weeks.
Yeah. And then I like went to the kitchen for a moment, came back to my room, missed a bunch of calls. And I was like, what the? How? And I called back and it was one of his assistants and she was like, I'll patch you through. And I was like, okay. And then, yeah, Lauren said like a bunch of stuff that where I was like, I don't know if I'm hired or not. He was like, you know, we like you. We think you'd be a great fit, this and that, but never said like, you're hired. You're working on this day, which I've heard that's what he does with a lot of people. But he's just like, yeah, this seems like it would be great. And I was like, it would be. Is it? What is it? And then like we hung up and then Kenward, one of the producers, called me back and was like, you're definitely working here. Just to clarify, you are working here. You start Monday. And
he just knew to make that call. Like,
yeah.
She's going to be confused.
Yeah. Let me clarify for a minute. And yeah. And then I got it.
That's so cool. And then like, did you freak out? Like what happened?
Oh yeah. I screamed so much. My roommate was there and we like jumped around a bunch and I called my mom and I called my dad and I called Nicole and just like basked in this wonderful feeling. But then the news broke that day, maybe an hour later, maybe not even an hour later. Like they released it on deadline and then everyone like took over it. And then my phone, like I had to turn my phone off because it was like blowing up from all these texts and calls and stuff like that, which was so nice, but I was like very overwhelmed. It was a lot of attention that I was like, I don't know if I want all this.
Just a lot at once.
It was a lot at once. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember waiting to hear about if my series was going to get picked up. And it was like every day for months, like maybe it was months. Yeah. That I would just wake up every day being like, might we find out today?
Yeah.
And then like after a month and a half of that, I'm like, I'm going fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But by the time we got that call, I was just like, because it did get picked up. And then I remember for like the next 6 months, I still felt like I was in the mindset of waiting, which I don't know if maybe I think it's because I had waited much longer, but like I really was stuck in like the waiting mindset even after I knew it got picked up, which was like a little traumatizing.
Well, because you're still also waiting for like when production starts or like.
Yeah.
Or even like they said yes. Okay, well, when do we sign papers? Like when are we actually putting the ink on the paper? So I know it's real.
Yeah.
Especially with TV, there's so many things that could happen to make things not happen.
Not real. Yeah.
Hey, Word Adults. Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone, and Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Like me. Some awesome featured upcoming meals are whole grain pasta and summer vegetables with heirloom tomato caprese salad. That sounds really good for me since I'm trying to avoid meat. I know, don't judge me, please. It's not forever. Oh my God. Miso butter salmon and lo mein noodles with cucumber and charmed tomatoes. I don't even know what charmed tomatoes are, but that's why I use Blue Apron, is because I don't know about the cool foods that like only rich, fancy people know about. You guys know, if you listen to this podcast, I love Blue Apron. I love the fact that I can just come home and the food is there waiting, and all I have to do is follow the easy instructions, cook it up, and I truly feel like such a strong sense of accomplishment. It's almost like pathetic, but it makes me feel really good about myself. I'm not crafty or good on my own, but with like all the ingredients purchased and all there set up with the directions laid out as easy as it can be, like I got this. You guys can check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Esther. That's my name. E-S-T-H-E-R. The H is silent. You guys got to know that for your life. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/Esther. E-S-T-H-E-R. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
So because you were about to move to LA, you didn't because you did SNL. Now you're done with SNL. Do you think you'll move to LA?
I don't know. I just moved to another apartment in New York on Monday, so probably not soon. Yeah. I like LA. Whenever I'm here, I enjoy it. I have tons of friends here, but
I feel like I'm very surprised that you're not moving here.
Yeah. I don't know.
You must just feel like you're a New Yorker, and that's,
I think so. Yeah. I've been there 8 years. I love it. And I've never lived in LA, so I have no need. I don't have no like draw where it's like, oh, I wish I could go back to LA. It's like, no, I've always been in New York and I just like it.
Mm-hmm.
You seem like you really want me to come here.
Yeah, I do. I just, more women in stand up here is always a good thing.
Totally. And, yeah.
Like I don't know. I think it's because I'm like the opposite of you, whereas I've never had that New York life. So it does feel like this big mystery to me. Yeah. I don't really know what it is and what it's about, except for when I was filming Hey Girl.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm like, why won't you come here? But.
Because New York's the shit. It's great. I mean, I love my neighborhood. I'm in Brooklyn. I've been in Brooklyn the whole time, in different places, but.
And that's where you moved. You're moving on Monday. You're staying there.
Yeah, I'm truly four blocks from where I was before. But I just love this area. It feels like a neighborhood and like I'm an adult. And I mean, I guess I could do that here. You know, you can get an actual house and have property and land and stuff. But I don't know. I just love walking around. I love not having a car. I love running into people on the street. I love weird interactions that you get on the subway. I really love it.
That's okay. All right. I hear you. I see you. I have to ask, is there one particular sketch or something that you participated in at the show that like really sticks to your heart that is your favorite? Like a best experience. Obviously, we said meeting Beyonce, but like, you know.
I mean, a really good one was there. Me and Cecily sang To Sir with Love when Obama left office and Trump entered office, because we hadn't written a goodbye sketch. We hadn't written a, like, you know, thanks for everything, Obama kind of thing. And I really wanted to. And Cecily had this last minute idea to sing the song and just be very sincere. It wasn't funny. I mean, there was like, we put a joke at the end, but it was like, we just wanted to like have a moment where we're like, thanks. Cause we had a parody of him for 8 years. He was a part of our lives. He's part of the show. We should say goodbye. So I'm really glad she came forward with that idea. And then I think it was supposed to be all the girls. And then, you know, I was the only one who was like really, really excited about this. And then she was like, well, we'll just harmonize. And so it was just the two of us. And it was great. It was really, and you know, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get through it without crying. Cause you know, I really love Obama and it was an emotional thing.
Did you cry?
Not during the song, but afterwards. Yeah. And it was nice because people messaged me and would see me on the street and be like, that was really nice. And we're glad that you guys did that. There are a lot of things on that show that people felt like was cathartic, that I thought that was really cool, especially this season where people were like, I saw this thing and I'm so glad you guys did it. Or we this thing happened in the news and we weren't sure like how you guys were going to address it. And we think the way you did it was so appropriate. Or yeah, people have been looking to that show as like a way to, you know, connect or like just get some sort of outlet to know how to like deal with their emotions about whatever's going on in
stuff that we're all going through, but like a way to kind of bring us together in a lighthearted way.
Yeah,
100%. Like I totally felt that watching too. As someone who also loves Obama and relates, I'm curious, like, how did you feel? And what was the experience like of like having Donald Trump on the show?
I actually don't want to talk about that. I mean, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. That's totally fair.
Yeah. Yeah. He was there. We don't take a vote as to who gets to be on the show.
Obviously.
So
yeah.
He was there.
Yeah. Another question. Wait, oh my God. Wait, because we were talking about singing. This is what I wanted to ask you. I saw on your Instagram that when we were in Montreal, you did the goddamn comedy jam. You sang
Celine Dion's It's All Coming Back to Me Now.
Okay. I am like a very sincere Celine Dion fan. So when I saw that, I was so psyched. Do you love her or are you just like,
I do love her. She's great.
Her music is so unbelievably good.
And she's like effortlessly talented. Like there's a clip from Divas Live from like 1999 or something like that where it's like Mariah Carey, Gloria Estefan, Aretha Franklin, I don't think Whitney Houston's there, but just like a bunch of divas and Celine Dion, and they're like, you know, everyone has a mic and everyone's trying to out-sing the other person, and Aretha's doing all these trills and these like riffs with her voice, and Celine's like, ooh, this is fun, I can do that. And then they're like battling, but I don't think Celine knows that they're battling. Like she's like just doing everything that Aretha's doing, and Aretha's like sweating and like, you know, really doing it, and Celine's like, yeah, this is great, what fun we're all having.
I can totally picture that. That is so perfect.
She's just so great.
She is just like this almost robot like perfect, happy to be there kind of icon.
She's like, I was just born to sing. Like, yeah. I was just put on this earth to sing, and I'm doing it, and I'm happy.
I feel like I get so much shit for loving Celine Dion. People are like, you're joking, right? That's a joke. No.
No, she's great.
Her music is so good.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen her live?
I haven't. No. Have you?
No, but we have to make that happen.
I know. I'm gonna see Lady Gaga soon.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes, I'm going next. Are you going to New York?
Of course. Yes. Yeah.
I'm going next week here. What was it like having her on the show?
Oh, she's great. She's so talented. We never spoke, but yeah, I watched her rehearse, and she's so meticulous and like really wants everything to be like down to the letter, which is great. Like, I love watching people's process and seeing them be like, you know, I worked this hard to get to this point. I'm not gonna let like one little slip up fuck up this performance. So yeah. And I think her voice is incredible and she's so talented. And yeah, I'm a fan.
Who have you seen her before?
No, I mean, I've seen her only on the show, right? It wasn't until the Super Bowl performance where I was like, I gotta see her live. What have I been doing this whole time? I have to see her.
Who else have you like, who, what other female pop concerts have you gone to, or just female?
Beyonce, of course. Which was like incredible. Felt like church. Oh. Who else?
Have you seen Britney in Vegas?
I haven't. Have you?
I did. I went once, but I'm going again because it's like ending soon. I feel like I have to see it one more time. But I'm super excited for Gaga. Although my seats are standing room only. Like, I'm in the pit.
Oh, whoa.
Which I'm a little bit nervous for. I feel like I'm going to have to lay down all day before and after.
It's a lot of standing.
It's going to be hard, but I know that her spirit will be within me and it will energize me, even though my feet will be hurting.
Yeah. I had seats for Beyonce, but we were still all standing. I was like near her little catwalk area, and just her dancing for 2 hours. I was like, I'm tired. I'm not doing anything but standing. But I was like, my back hurts. My knees hurt. Like, how are you doing all this?
Well, I do have a defense for you, which is that I do think it's harder to just stand for a long time.
Okay, good. That makes me feel better.
Because when you're moving around, you're like, think about it. You're, all your muscles are being engaged and like energized, and you're moving, and it's like a workout. And but just standing, like you said, your feet, your back, like it's too much pressure on one area.
This makes me feel good.
This is my like manifesto about how I hate standing.
Yeah.
But I love moving.
Love moving.
Love to walk.
Can't get enough
love
of moving.
Love to dance. Anyways, well, Sashir, I am so glad that you came to do this show. This has been so much fun. I love connecting with other women in this business, especially ones who have the same roots as me.
Yeah.
That hey girl.
Those hey girl roots.
Yeah. And so, where can people like look out for you? Just Instagram. You'll post all about all the stuff you have coming out.
Yeah. My Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr are all at the Sheer Truth, T-H-E Sheer Truth. And yeah, I post all my shows there. My special is called Pizza Mind. It's on CISO and iTunes and Spotify and wherever else you can listen to stuff. And
Pizza Mind?
Yeah. I admit it's funny.
It's really funny.
Thank you. And what else do I got going on? I guess that's it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Feral Audio.